way we grow and produce food is ever-changing, shaped by consumers and the climate in which we live and farm. Research at all points of our food system is essential for continuously improving food's journey from farm to table. The Manitoba Agriculture and Food Knowledge Exchange explores timely research innovations and applications that make our food system better than ever. Join us for today's podcast.
Welcome to the Manitoba Agriculture and Food Knowledge Exchange podcast. I'm your host, Jordan Sisiwa, and today we're going to be talking about greenhouse gases. This is a very important topic to get into, and especially an important topic to get the facts and the research right. So we've gone to an excellent source for those. We've gone to Dr. Kim Ominski with over 20 years identifying strategies to improve the productivity and sustainability of beef cattle production in Western Canada. Dr. Kim Ominski is the director of the National Center for Livestock and Environment at the University of Manitoba, and she's here to discuss greenhouse gases. So, Dr. Ominski, what role do greenhouse gases play in agriculture in Canada?
So agriculture accounts for approximately 8% of all greenhouse gas emissions in Canada. And this might in fact come as a surprise to many people. The majority of greenhouse gas emissions in Canada are actually produced as a consequence of burning fossil fuels. Now, those burning of fossil fuels obviously affords all of us, yourself, myself, a lot of luxuries, including driving cars to go to and from work every day, driving our kids to sporting events, music events, and other things.
And this is, I think this is something that more people need to know, is that it's quite a low number. And that's something that pointing that out is really important, that our food has to cost greenhouse gas.
Right. So I think that it is a low number, but on that front, I would say that the ag sector continues to work, you know, through improved management strategies to reduce that number even further.
So where does the greenhouse gas come from? Because I think that's a point of confusion for myself, and I'm not somebody on the farm. So where do we actually see those greenhouse gases produced?
Right. That's a really good question. So on livestock farms, greenhouse gases are produced from a number of different places. And actually, most of that comes from the breakdown of products. So for example, the digestion of feed, manure, and synthetic fertilizers, those are all sources of greenhouse gases. If we want to focus on digestion of feed just for a moment, ruminants, all livestock like cattle, bison, that have four stomachs, have the capacity to break down these highly fibrous feedstuffs that humans can't eat. So this unique digestive system, the presence of a rumen, which is one of those four stomachs, allows animals to break down these highly digestive feeds, highly fibrous feeds. As a consequence of that breakdown, methane is produced. So really what cattle are doing is they're taking these low quality feedstuffs that humans can't eat, and they have the capacity to turn it into high quality protein.
Yeah, and this is the interesting part to me. Your research and a lot of the research at the University of Manitoba and many other universities, you are all looking for ways to further reduce those emissions, correct?
Yes, that's correct. So I would say that we are doing research to look at strategies. So we look at feeding management practices, we look at manure management practices. But I think it's also important to note that as a consequence of adoption of these on-farm practices, that the cattle industry, for example, has been able to reduce emissions by about 15% in the last 30 years. So that means it takes fewer animals and less land to produce the same number of kilograms of beef that it did 30 years ago. Now you might ask, do we have the opportunity to move even further than that? And I would say yes, we do. And that's why we continue to do research to identify what these management strategies might be to move that even further and make greater progress in that way.
Let's take this a little even further. How are greenhouse gases actually produced from cattle?
So As I said, cattle have this unique digestive system where they have four stomachs rather than one, like humans do. And the first of those stomachs is called the rumen. And this rumen has the capacity, because it has bacteria and protozoa in it, it has these microbes in it, it has the capacity to break down these highly fibrous feeds, which are not digestible by humans. As the feed is being digested, a byproduct of that feed digestion is actually methane. And so the animals actually belch methane into the environment as they're digesting the feed. So it's a bit of a paradox, because we have this utilization of low-quality feedstuffs, conversion by an animal into high-quality protein, but at the same time, we have the production of methane. And it's the capacity to utilize these highly fibrous feedstuffs that offers several advantages from an environmental sustainability perspective. And maybe I'll just mention two of those. So we call this highly fibrous feedstuff forage. It's kind of the generic term for highly fibrous feedstuffs that animals can consume. Forage includes grasslands. And when cattle graze grasslands, these grasslands are very unique in and of themselves, in that they have the capacity to be able to, what we call, sequester carbon. So that means they can, as most plants do, they can take carbon from the atmosphere and they store it in the root mass of that plant. And so that carbon sequestration is actually very positive from an environmental perspective. And at the same time, these grasslands also are home to a number of different species of animals. And this is what we call biodiversity. Not only is it species of animals, but species of plants as well. So these grasslands are very important for birds, for example, and, you know, for other, ground-dwelling rodents. So these grasslands provide a really unique opportunity, and they need to be managed well in order to be able to sustain carbon sequestration and biodiversity, as an example.
Interesting. So basically, we've got ruminants, cattle, bison, etc., who are able to graze lands that wouldn't produce food for humans, and that grazing actually improves the ability for those plants to do their job in sequestering carbon dioxide.
Right. So in maintaining these grasslands, you're exactly right. Grazing is an important part of maintaining them. Now, it might come as a surprise, or to many people, that the perception is that cattle, for most of their lives, are on or consuming feeds that are also consumable by humans. And that's true. There are some feedstuffs that we do use in cattle diets, but the vast majority, about 85% of what an animal eats in its lifetime, is made up of these forages, or these highly fibrous feeds. And in addition to these, these grasslands, the other opportunity that we have in livestock production is that when we process cereal grains or oil seeds, we produce the main product that we want. So for example, I'll use canola oil. When we process canola, we produce canola oil as the primary ingredient. That's used for human consumption. It's also used for industrial oils. But a byproduct of that processing is something called canola meal. It is very high in protein, and it is an excellent feed source for many different livestock species. If we didn't have livestock to consume these byproducts, and canola is only one example. For example, when wheat is cleaned to be made into bread, the screenings that are used from that wheat are an excellent source of feed for ruminants. So if we didn't have ruminants to use all of these byproducts as part of their diet, we would have to dispose of those in another way, and that obviously has an environmental cost associated with it.
Dr. Wominski, it is so much fun listening to you talk. This is the interesting stuff that I don't think most consumers know when it comes to the consumption of what are ruminants, cattle eating. And to know that we would literally have tons of byproduct to get rid of if we didn't have these animals eating it, that's fascinating to me. And you, as a researcher, let's talk about your research in general, and what would happen if we removed livestock from the landscape?
Right, that's a really good question. It's a very complex question, of course, but it is an excellent question. And we are actually doing some of that work right now. So some of our colleagues in the U.S. have already conducted that sort of analysis in the U.S. And what they found is that if you removed livestock from the landscape, that overall emissions across all sectors would be reduced by about 2.6%. When I say emissions, I mean greenhouse gas emissions. However, as I mentioned previously, not only would we have to find strategies to reduce the byproducts that are consumed by ruminants, but we would also have to replace the manure fertilizer that we use, that obviously comes from ruminants, with synthetic fertilizer as a source of fertility for plants.
So basically we could remove the cattle from the land and save ourselves 2.6% on greenhouse gas by this research. But am I to understand we don't know the effects per se of the greenhouse gas side of it to remove the byproducts that the cattle eat, as well as fertilizing the plants that we would then need to switch that with?
Right. So the consideration is not only we would have a small reduction in greenhouse gas emissions, but as you said, we would have to get rid of the byproducts, and we would also have to look for alternative sources of fertility for plants in terms of synthetic fertilizer. But the other thing that we have to consider is the fact that much of this land is not suitable for crop production. So grazing land, we talked about grasslands. Those grasslands, many of them are not suitable for crop production. And so as a consequence, we would then have impacts in terms of our capacity of these what we call perennial forages, meaning they're there all the time. You don't have to seed them every year. They regrow every year. These perennial forages, as we said, your grasslands, sequester a lot of carbon, and they also provide home to many plant and animal species in terms of enhancing the biodiversity of the landscape.
Beautifully said. So everything works together to keep our environment healthy. You're a researcher, this is your life's work is around this. What are the next steps in your research?
Right. So as I said, you know, this is very complex. Agricultural systems or agroecosystems are very complicated, and there really is no silver bullet. That would be the ideal, that we would have one management strategy and said, you know, if producers employed this single management strategy, it would solve all of the problems. But that's not possible, because in agriculture, every system operates under different constraints, with different landscapes, different water cycles, different plant and soil types, and so there's many, many factors to consider. And in our research, that's what we're trying to do, is to capture the complexities of our agroecosystems by asking questions like, how do we capture the value of biodiversity? What risks do we take if we use one environmental measure, like greenhouse gases, for example, to make future decisions regarding Canada's grasslands and the cattle that use them? And we're trying to take a balanced approach with research that provides really a holistic assessment of the best ways in which we can use our resources to produce food for humans, because that's what we are obviously the end point of our work. And as I said, these are very complex issues. It's a much bigger picture that doesn't fit into a single soundbite. You know, greenhouse gases, you know, if we focus on one, greenhouse gases fits into a soundbite. Biodiversity doesn't. And really, as I said, we need to consider all of these environmental indices when we think about livestock production systems.
So to clarify on that is, if I looked at you and said, solve this problem of greenhouse gas, that's one of those things that if my concern is the environment, I have to look at the big picture and not only greenhouse gases. Is that kind of the sum of this?
Yes, absolutely. So we know there's management systems that we can use that would substantially reduce greenhouse gases in animals, but they might hinder biodiversity. At the same time, obviously, we can enhance biodiversity and then try to balance greenhouse gases within those production systems. And I think that's really our ultimate goal is, you know, because fewer and fewer people have the luxury of being connected to where their food is produced, they really genuinely just want to know more. And finding balanced information in order to be able to answer those questions is not as easy as you would think. So as researchers, our job isn't to convince consumers what to eat or how to eat it, but it's really to provide information and then to help them think critically about the food that they eat and how it's produced. You know, presently, you know, we have a few pieces of the puzzle put together, but we're really just starting to tell the whole story.
I love what you said there, that as a researcher, it's not our job to convince you what to eat. It's to provide the information. That to me, I am so grateful that you and the team at the University of Manitoba, that's how you look at it, and that's what you guys are doing. The team is phenomenal, and I really appreciate your time today explaining greenhouse gases and the role of biodiversity. I appreciate your time.
Yes, thank you very much, Jordan, for the opportunity.